Okay. So again, as a reminder to our audience, we are on section number 3, informal interviews, board deliberation and action. We are on item number 2 in regards to Audie Wood, DVM. You may come forward, and I'm not sure if you have an attorney with you, but okay. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Audie Wood. In case number 2438, this matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 322234. Dr. Wood, please introduce yourself for the record.
Audie Wood.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Wood, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you have submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present, please do so now.
No.
Thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Janes, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Sure, this is case 2438, and the complainant is a former employee that had expressed concerns with the respondent's conduct while in her employ. The concerns were that the complainant was requested to administer rabies vaccines to pets without veterinary supervision, that they witnessed rabies vaccines being administered to pets without veterinary supervision, that technical staff were performing euthanasia procedures after a veterinarian would calculate the dose, that the respondent routinely leaves controlled substances in an unlocked cabinet, that boarding animals are not always kept in their own individual cage, rabies vaccine protocols in general, I take it, and concerns with the sterility of surgical procedures.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Wood, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Dr. Wood, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
I'm here to answer questions, but there's 2 points on the findings of fact that I would like to clarify. Okay. To make sure that it was accurately either written by me as the respondent or it was typed. Because it says respondent stated rabies vaccines are administered in accordance to the rabies compendium. But at the end it says it's documented in the medical record and initialed by the veterinarian. If one of the technicians administers it under the supervision, we don't personally sign it. So I just wanted to make sure that that was corrected. It's not either by Dr. Langegger or myself. If the tech gives it, what they do is they initial it and then they write for the initials of the attending vet.
Okay.
The other point I would like to make is it does not list that Dr. Langegger is there on Wednesdays. It says his schedule is Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 7:30 to 5:30, which unless I say, Pete, we're done, go home. He's there until 5:30, hangs up his coat at 5:30. So he's there every day and 3 Saturdays a month. He's also there on Wednesdays, which is not listed. He does procedures in the mornings, and then when he's done, he leaves. So it's highly unlikely that there is not a doctor on the premise. And I just wanted to make sure that those were included. Bobby also says, I'm not on the premise on Wednesday. That is not true. So there's a doctor generally on the premise directing or supervising, because the rabies seems to be a big issue here.
Okay.
And I'm here to answer questions. I have no other response to the complainant.
Okay, thank you. I would like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Wood.
Yeah, so I will start with a few from my end. I mean, obviously, you know what the allegations are, and we know that this came from a previous staff member, so right, so we have to kind of try and figure out where there's just disgruntledness and where there is actual fact of what happens in the clinic. So some of these questions that I'm going to ask, you've probably already answered. I just kind of want to hear it again for my own knowledge and recollection. Specifically with regarding the rabies vaccines, and really any vaccine, but rabies, let's take that as an example. How often are those vaccines done by technicians, and how do you determine which client is going to see a veterinarian versus a technician appointment?
If they just come in for a technician type appointment, toenails, anal glands, they want to get their annuals, that's usually a technician type appointment. And my feelings on that is I would rather they come into the hospital to get their annual parvo distempers than go to Tractor Supply. So they at least come in and they get advice, they get TPRs, they get weights, they get concerns, but they don't always see a doctor.
Okay. And is that something that, like, as the receptionist takes the call about them needing vaccines or whatever, they determine whether they need to see the doctor or not? Like, if they said, I just want to come in for a rabies.
Then they tell them it's a tech appointment.
Okay.
And the receptionists don't schedule rabies if a doctor is not going to be there.
Okay.
They do not schedule the rabies vaccines if, okay, for whatever reason. Dr. Pete was out, I think it was two Wednesdays ago, the first time ever, because his mother-in-law passed. So, but there's generally a doctor there.
Okay, and when these tech appointments are being done, I understand that there's a doctor there, but the doctor's not involved in it at all. The doctor doesn't actually physically examine the pet?
The doctor doesn't physically examine the pet.
Okay.
But if there's concerns by the, you know, a little bit of an elevated temperature, they come back and ask, is it okay?
Okay. And in looking at the statutes, because I'm sure you've gone back and looked at our rules and statutes based on this complaint, how do you interpret that? Do you feel like vaccines are something that should be able to be given without an exam?
I do, because people can buy it over the counter and do it themselves, perhaps inappropriately. I would prefer they come in by somebody experienced and do it.
Okay.
And give it appropriately, properly, and standardly. And yet, you know, and now they're established, they get their questions answered, we get vitals.
Okay.
Which they get vitals on all of them.
And some of these people that come in for tech appointments could be existing clients, but they could, that have been in regularly, but it could also be new clients. Is that correct?
Could be new clients.
Okay. And on new clients, is there a requirement that they have an exam done before they can do tech appointments?
I don't believe so. They can come in and just get a vaccine.
Okay.
And again, it's like, you know, should I send them to Tractor Supply, or should I, you know, people won't vaccinate if now they're going to get charged an office call as well. So we kind of weigh it. We weigh the odds. Would we rather vaccinate these puppies, get them through their series, which they could do themselves, get them through their series, and then get them scheduled for, you know, whatever the next phase in that puppy's life is. Then they go from, you know, tech to doctor at 3 months, 4 months, whenever, you know, whenever they come in for their spays, neuters, whatever.
Okay. I think that's all my questions on the vaccines. As far as the technician appointments that are euthanasia procedures, now that's a little bit different because on euthanasias, the doctor calculates the drug dosages, correct?
Correct.
Does the doctor actually evaluate the pet prior, or do they just get, the technician gets the weight and the
it
doctor?
It depends, but you know, a lot of them are patients that are getting put down. Everyone is looked at. It sits right there on the counter, they're looked at, there's an age, there's an issue, the techs communicate that, we double check, it's okay. We do not put down healthy animals that bite we have standards, but if it's an old pet that can't walk, we see, yeah, the people are here, it's time. The doctor evaluates and then they get put down.
So the doctor actually evaluates in that situation, not the technician?
The doctor evaluates the situation. You know, they'll come back and they'll look and it's kind of like, why are we doing this? It's a 7-year-old. Well, he's been paralyzed, he's in pain a lot, he's been seen elsewhere. Like, okay, you know. So if there's legitimate reasons for the owners to bring them in, it's evaluated by the doctor.
Okay.
They aren't just willy-nilly put down.
Okay, but when you say evaluated by the doctor, you mean the doctor has reviewed the medical records and what the technician has provided you?
If it's a new client, new patient that we've never seen, it's verbal between the tech and the doctor why it's getting put down.
Okay.
Because we have a lot that are not our patients.
Okay.
That we haven't seen before, but they need the animal put down. Animal control won't do it or can't do it. They just need help with their pet.
Okay.
And so we provide that service. But a doctor does, you know, at least, why are we doing this?
Okay. I believe that's the bulk of my questions. I think there were some concerns about the premise as far as controlled substance storage and sterility of surgical procedures, but I feel like that's more premise related, so I'd rather deal with that with the premise related.
Well, they're locked up now. I mean, we had a lockbox. It's just, we do a lot of euthanasias in a day. And the Tila's, I mean, that's why we kept it in the refrigerator, because it loses potency. So, but now it's all locked up, so.
Okay. I don't have any additional questions.
Ms. Sullivan, go ahead.
Thank you. As follow-up to Dr. Jane's questions, are there times when a euthanasia is performed by a technician that a DVM is not consulted?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Thank you.
And so can you state what your hours are? You're typically there Monday through Friday as well.
Mine?
Yes.
Like 5:30 in the morning.
Okay.
This year has been a little bit different. I do procedures Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays,
okay,
all morning till I'm done. I do admin. Then when I'm done, then I have to leave. I have a 3-hour round trip every day now to go feed at my ranch.
Okay.
I'm there on Wednesdays and I see emergencies, walk-ins. I'm there available for emergencies. My schedule is not, I'm not seeing wellness exams this year. I'm not seeing routine stuff. I'm there on Wednesdays for emergencies.
Okay.
And I stay and see those, do all the consults, and when I'm done, then I'm available to.
And so, feed. You know, because there was this discussion of, you know, vets not being on practice, and yet hearing from you and your associate, it seems like for the most part, you guys, not only is one of you there, you're both there.
Most of the time.
You know, Monday through Friday.
Wednesday afternoon would be the only time, because Dr. Pete does his procedures, and when he's done, he has that afternoon for his personal stuff.
Okay. So when you have offering a lot of tech-only appointments, then, you have two vets there, but is it just that it's a cost prohibitive for some clients to see the doctor, or is your workload, just?
They don't ask. They say he's fine. He's healthy. I don't need
okay.
their puppy exams. Their annuals. They're going to another kennel that requires Bordetella
okay.
or whatever. So they come in just to get what they need.
So that would be, okay. So if I called in and said though that my dog had an ear infection, that would be something that would be scheduling with Dr. Pete, not
right.
necessarily. Okay.
And even the puppies and the ones that come in, he's losing a patch of hair. Well, we're gonna need to schedule that. I mean,
okay.
It needs to be seen. So if they have a concern, it needs to be seen by the doctor. If the doctor's available, we can see them right then. If not, then they have to schedule it.
Okay.
Because we are pretty heavily booked.
Okay. Okay. I think that's all for the moment. I might circle back. Does anybody else have any other questions?
question? Yes, I just have a quick question. Could you walk me through the euthanasia procedure? So if it's a tech appointment that's doing the euthanasia, what are the steps that are involved?
All the paperwork at the front desk. First of all, our policy on euthanasias is yes and no. When people are ready, we all know it's a very emotional time. And so when somebody calls, I'm not gonna book them out 4 days. You know, they're gonna come in now, as long as there's a doctor there. So they come in, they do all the paperwork, we get all that, we get them in. We've added on a whole another wing, and we have that special side. We actually have special insulation so that it's very private, with a special exit. So then they get put into one of those rooms. The paper is on the countertop for the doctor to look at, calculate the dose, assess, yeah. Then the technician goes in, does the sedation, be back in a little bit, you know, and they go check on them. I mean, we just keep checking on them. And then they go back and do the final injection.
Okay, so the technician actually does the euthanasia with client in the room?
They do, unless they don't want to be with them, and then they just get admitted. But yeah, they stay in that room. We don't take the pet away from the people. I've had too many people complain about that. You know, they took my pet away, they went to put a catheter in, I could hear them screaming back there. It's just not been a very good situation for a lot of pet owners. So we allow them, they stay right with them, and everything gets done in that room.
Okay, thank you.
In the case where they don't want to be present, then what happens?
Then they get admitted until the doctor does calculate, and then we do that. I know there's some concerns about scanning, which I'm sure will come up later, but sometimes I would scan them because they're going under general anesthesia. So they will get admitted, and the same protocol, the doctor evaluates, they get sedated, they get put down, and however the owners request them be.
So is there ever where there's a time where a patient is waiting for an ultrasound before being euthanized?
There's times where they're housed and they're right in the treatment area with us.
And are the owners aware of that?
Probably not, because they don't even want to be with them. They just hand them over and say, take care of them. I don't want to be with them.
Do you think their perception is that it's going to happen now?
I don't know what they perceive.
In general, would that be what you would expect if you were a pet owner and I'm dropping off my animal to be euthanized? I don't want to be here. Do you think there'd be a time when they'd expect that it was not going to be done right away?
I'm sure there's some people that would, but most of them don't even want to be a part of it.
And so they would be okay with them
waiting. They would be okay
with them hanging out in the clinic waiting.
In fact, I think some of them probably don't even want to know. You know, it's like they just literally, I gotta go. You know, it's that tough for them.
On that note, in the event that say you're in a room or what have you, and you can't calculate those doses, how long on average do those drop-off euthanasias wait in the treatment area before the actual sedation?
That I can't say because I don't know what time they're admitted. I'm generally in procedures. Dr. Pete, I'm sure, will, if it's on the table, because we have a treatment area that has, you know, like the active records that he's working on in rooms, and that's exactly where the euthanasia. So as he's walking by, it's generally done then.
Okay, so, but I guess to narrow it down, is it 10 minutes, is it a half hour, is it a few hours until this gets done?
I'm sure there's times it's been a few hours.
Okay.
Yeah, it's variable.
Okay.
With regard, if I was bringing my pet in for Cytopoint or some other steroid injection, is that a tech-only appointment?
If they're current on their exams, the ones that come in for site appoints every month, you know, they're checked to make sure that they're current on their exams, that we're treating the same thing, and if it's just like a routine, you know, we get B12s weekly for 4 weeks, you know, and that's a tech appointment because it's on the schedule, and then do it, and same with the site appointments.
Got it.
If the owners have concerns, the site appoint's not working, you know, then we set up a doctor's. Well, let's try some alternatives, but let's have a consult about it.
Okay.
Or sometimes the techs will give them the option of researching, you know, Apoquel or something first, and then the consult. You know, if the doctor can't see them that day, which can't always see them right then.
Okay.
Thank you. Are you the premise holder, or is Dr. B?
I'm the premise holder.
Wow, okay. Any other questions?
No.
So, I mean, I think this case is going to be a tough one to discuss because I feel like...
hold on. I was like, we still have to hear from the complainant and all that.
Oh.
So I didn't know
I didn't even know we had any. Complainant.
She's on the phone.
All right.
Okay, so if there are no further questions for Dr. Wood, then I go ahead and have you step back. And we are now going to hear from the complainant on the phone, Cassandra Benha. Cassandra, are you there?
I am, yes.
Okay. So, Cassandra, I would now, if you would just state your name for the record, please.
Cassandra Benha.
Great. And, Cassandra, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do swear.
Okay, thank you. So we know you are the complainant in this case, and we've read the materials that you have provided. Now is your opportunity to address the board, and then we'll probably have questions for you as well. So go ahead.
So the complaints I made were in regards to, I think I heavily emphasized on the rabies. We had a day in August where Dr. Wood was on vacation, and Dr. Pete was not in the office. It was his Saturday off, and we had several rabies appointments where it was just technicians in the office, and we were the ones administering the rabies vaccines, which is where that concern came up. And then the concern with the euthanasias being that I had seen dogs being held for 2-3 hours that were there for euthanasias because they were actively in pain. Waiting for a doctor to either dose out the euthasol or evaluate their case, which I'm a bleeding heart. I'm an animal lover. Seeing a dog just kind of sit in one of the kennels because they would be kept either in the front of our boarding area or in one of the small treatment area kennels, depending on their size and their demeanor. I personally don't believe that it was necessarily humane to do so, to keep them in those conditions, especially when they're just waiting to essentially die, as well as having the rabies being a tech appointment. We would typically have no doctor specifically presiding over them. If we had any questions, we could reach out to doctors on staff, but we didn't have any doctors at any point that would like come into the room and go over physical exams and such for the rabies vaccinations, which it was my impression that by law there had to be a doctor involved in all rabies vaccinations. I may have misread the law. So that's where the root of my concerns came from.
Okay, thank you. Do any of the board members have a question for the complainants?
Cassandra, this is Dr. Robin James, and I just have, I think, just one question regarding these things that you saw during your time that may be different from what you had experienced at other places or different from what you thought the law said. Were these discussed with Dr. Wood during your employment?
I did not feel safe or comfortable discussing them with Dr. Wood. Anytime I would bring up a concern, I feel like it was either just kind of fielded away or the conversation would escalate. So these, among other concerns, did not get brought up, no.
Okay, and do you know if any of the other staff had brought these up as concerns, or if any of the other staff felt that they couldn't bring them up either? I'm just, and you may not know that because that's kind of your perception, but I'm just wondering.
Not that I'm aware of. I believe, oh, and I cannot remember her last name, I feel terrible, but Bobette or Bobby, who works there, may have brought up some concerns. But I'm not sure 100%. I know that she had shared some of the same thoughts and feelings that I had about some of the procedures done.
Okay. I don't have any additional questions. Anybody else? All right. Do we have anyone else here that we need to talk to?
I don't believe so.
There's other staff here. Miss Angela Whalen, she's a CBT, and then Abel Renteria is also available if you need to speak to them.
Okay.
I don't think I have any specific questions for anyone else.
I feel like we're trying to call Bobby again. Didn't we try to call someone that wasn't there?
Yes.
Did we try to call them?
Okay.
So, Cassandra, hang tight a second. We're going to try and get a hold of Bobby one more time.
Okay. Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice.
Madam Chair, I know that she was at work and she was, of course, expecting us to call her more around the 12:15 time.
Okay.
So, but she had intended to participate.
Okay. Okay. Dr. Wood, do you have any additional remarks or any other questions that you would like to ask before we conclude that portion? If you have anything, then yes, come forward.
It's just about these rabies that were given on a Saturday.
Okay.
The boarding people kind of had their own agenda in the back. And they should not have been scheduled as rabies if there was not going to be a doctor there. So my concern is they should have been those rabies should have been not administered on a Saturday and should have waited until, I'm guessing they were probably boarders. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to look, but per the receptionist and per the policy, they should not be scheduled. So I don't know why they were given on that Saturday unless they were boarders coming in, because both Bobby and, well, she applied as Riley. I don't know her as Cassandra. They did the boarding. And so if they just administered them on their own, that was against policy. These ones on Saturday, that there was not a doctor there.
Okay.
And I don't know what day they were, and I have to pull files.
Okay. Are there any other additional questions for Dr. Wood by board members? Okay, thank you. You may step back. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which we hear the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. And again, Dr. James, you are the lead.
All right, so I'm gonna start over since I've already started this one. I think this is gonna be an interesting one to discuss because I feel like, different from most cases where you have a he said, she said, what happened, I think we're pretty consistent here. I think we kind of know what's going on. So the question really is what's going on a violation of the Practice Act and rules, right? And I would start with, I think this doctor is trying to meet the needs of her clients and try and make veterinary medicine a little bit easier and a little bit more accessible to her clients. And unfortunately, that sometimes gets us into this gray zone of what's allowed and what's not allowed, and I think that's really the bulk of what we're here to discuss. Like I said, there were a couple complaints that are more related to the premise, so I wasn't going to really go into detail on those. I think the ones that I want to discuss are the administration of vaccines, and I personally don't make a differentiation between a distemper parvo and a rabies when it comes to this conversation, because either way, we're making a determination that that pet is healthy enough for vaccines. So I just so that we know, I don't really make a distinguishing piece there. The other thing about whether a veterinarian's on the premise or not on the premise, I still don't know if that really applies either, because ultimately the way I look at this is whoever's got their hands on that pet and is looking at that pet is the one that's saying, yes, this animal is healthy enough for whatever vaccine. And even if the doctor's in the back, that doesn't do us any good if the doctor's not there looking at the pet. And so the way I interpret it is we're allowing technicians to make a medical determination that this animal's healthy enough for vaccines, which to me is in violation of our Practice Act and rules. So that's kind of my theory on, or my viewpoint on the vaccines. I think with regards to the euthanasia, there's two concerns I have here. One, we have a question of whether there's really an established VCPR if we've never seen this pet before and the doctor's not involved in evaluating it, because then how do you get the veterinarian and the client? You might get the tech and the client as that kind of a relationship, but I'm lacking where you have a solid VCPR for the administration of a controlled substance. I think the other piece on the euthanasia that is a little bit concerning to me, and I would love to hear from others on this, but I have a hard time with allowing animals to sit and wait for euthanasia. I think it's one thing if a client comes in and a doctor's not available and staff tells them, look, a doctor's not available, it's going to be a couple hours till they get out of surgery and the owner elects to leave that animal for euthanasia. I think that's very different than if we're bringing these animals in and not really having that conversation and they're sitting in the back for no real reason outside of potentially practice of scanning these animals or waiting on a drug calculation. Because I wouldn't feel comfortable with that if that were my pet. And I definitely feel like that's something that should be communicated to the owner. So from an ethics perspective, I have concern with that.
To your second point, and that was my questioning exactly, about leaving an animal for a long period of time and performing a practice scan on them. As a pet owner, I can't believe a pet owner would have that expectation that something like that might be done. And if it was to be done for the sake of whatever, there should be some documentation.
Well, and I know when I was learning how to ultrasound, like there were patients that we knew what they had, or we were pretty certain we knew what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask the client, are you comfortable if I do this? Because I want to see what it looks like on ultrasound versus some other diagnostic tools or some other things that we have based our decision off of, right? So it was a learning thing. And I don't think that that's not the issue I have as much as I don't think we're having that conversation and we're allowing this animal to sit for periods of time waiting on it. And I think that's the bigger issue.
I agree. And in your case, you ask permission and that's fine. That doesn't appear to be what happened here.
Right.
I don't think these owners knew that this was going to happen. And most of them, if they're in pain, like we heard, or they're going to say, no, please put my animal in sleep. So I agree. On the first one, I agree also. The doctor on premise only serves to, what if we have a reaction or there's a problem? Then a doctor on the premise makes, okay, we need a doctor. But it doesn't address, is this patient healthy enough to have this vaccine, like you said. That's why we do the exams. That's why we insist on it, or it has to be done at a vaccination clinic. The doctor has to do an exam. There has to be some type of examination. And in these cases, there is none.
Yeah. And I do understand.
Service to the community, I agree. I agree, but do it at no charge then, if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, because yes, you can go to Tractor Supply and buy them, and you're going to have inconsistent quality of vaccines and storage of vaccines and administration of the vaccine and all those things. And I'm not advocating that we want to encourage that. But what I would also say is that it changes when that animal is having that done by a veterinary staff member, right? It's no longer being done by the owner.
Right.
And I think that that's missed a little bit in how this clinic is operating.
Well, and I think when I listened to the interviews, and I think you could even tell that the staff who work there, and I can't blame them, I think some of them are confused as far as what they are and are not allowed. There was some, you know, differing accounts as far as their, you know, could they do Cytopoint? Could they do rabies? Could they do, you know, which things could they do on their own versus not? And so, yeah.
On the Cytopoint, let me ask you guys, because you're still clinically doing Cytopoint, but the way I would look at it is that actually, if you had a current exam and this pet was coming in for that, I could actually see that being get the vitals and do a tech appointment and give the injection because you have a current exam. But what we're talking about with these euthanasias and the vaccines is there may or may not be a VCPR and there may or may not be a recent exam.
And what's your definition of current?
Yeah, I mean, I would say for me personally, generally within a year, but what I would say is some conditions may warrant more than that. Some conditions I may not think that every year is adequate, that you might need to do more.
Well, I mean, in the Cytopoint, when you say current exam, within what time frame current exam?
Yeah.
Was it this week? Was it this month? Was it?
I would not say this week because typically they're not given weekly, right?
So they might have been there for another reason.
Yeah, I don't give Cytopoint anymore. That's why I was looking to this. But what I would say is, if you've been in within the last year, that's typically when you're going to allow for prescription refills and things without doing another exam. That's kind of how I look at the Cytopoint injection. Outside of the fact that there might be reason as to why you would say no, I want to do the exam more often, right. And that's doctor discretion to me. That you have to have the knowledge to be able to say this is when I want to see the pet, and this is when the exam kind of expires.
But you're also pre-planning that Cytopoint.
Right, you are, and you're saying this is how long we're going to do it. This is how often we're going to do it. This is what we're going to do, and this is when we're going to reevaluate. Mm-hmm. Unless something comes up in the interim and it changes it.
Well,
right?
And again, when she talked about the, you know, they were doing rabies potentially at the boarding facility when there wasn't a doctor on premise, but again, you can kind of understand how the techs would maybe be confused that they, you know, if they're typically giving rabies exams when the doctors are or not there, that's, you know, they probably didn't even realize they weren't supposed to be doing it.
What I think is really coming down to it is, just like she said, they're booked far out. They're trying to get more clients in, trying to do more service, and unfortunately not doing it correctly.
This is
not the way to try and get more clients helped.
Right, and I can understand the mentality behind why you're doing it.
Oh, absolutely.
And I can see where the technicians that we heard in testimony are like, our clients love our clinic, our clients love our doctors. Yes, they do, because you're trying to help them. And 90% of the time, that's fine, but that's not
the violation.
Well, yeah, and especially if you're getting charged half the amount, too. Of course you're going to love that clinic as opposed to, you know, paying for,
that's ultimately,
you know,
I think what it is that, is we're trying exam. To do too much, and we're trying to be everything to everybody, and that's where we've kind of fallen off the legal standard. And that's the crux of the matter for me, is we're trying to help these clients, so we're going to do it this way. Well, that's not legal.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a couple, a couple violations. I would say I'll make a motion, with regards to, I'm going to start with the euthanasia and informing the client of potentially these animals waiting long periods of time and having other, procedures done before they're euthanized as, 3222, number 12. And R311-5011 for professionally acceptable procedures. And I don't know, do we want to do these individually? Is it easier for people to vote if we do them all individually? Probably.
Either way, you, why don't we take them one at a time?
Okay, so that was, that's my first violation.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
And then my other one is 3222, number 12, and R311502L4 and 5, which relates to doing vaccinations without the result of an examination. In 4, it's talking about the results of the examination, and some of those things, temperature, heart rate, respiratory rate, are done, but some of them aren't done, and they're not done by a doctor. And then number 5 is a tentative and definitive diagnosis. So even if on a vaccine appointment you're not making a diagnosis of a medical condition, you're still making a diagnosis of the fact that this animal is healthy enough for vaccines. And so that's why I do L4 and 5.
Because it's on the label of the vaccine, administered to a healthy animal.
Well, yeah,
so
we wouldn't want to give it to one
animal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye. Sorry. Tracy's giving me a look.
The medical record keeping rules usually go with ARS 3222, number 21, instead of 12.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So I just
want to
clarify that if that's
21.
Okay.
Didn't you learn that from
the
last case?
It's now my dyslexia, not yours. okay, all right. So that's where I was going to leave it. I think I had kind of toyed with, and I don't know if it can stand alone, but the BCPR, so 3222, number 25. Which talks about the establishment of a BCPR, but I feel like we kind of have that covered in the medical record. So I don't know if anyone feels strongly or differently about that being documented separately.
No, I don't think you need to. Like I said, I don't think this is malicious.
It's not malicious.
This is just overwhelmed, like a lot of veterinary clinics are overwhelmed in trying to help as much as we can and just not doing it the right way. So yeah, I think that kind of puts a little different spin on it, even though it is violating statute. Like I said, I don't think we were setting out to violate statute.
And I think some of these can be easily remedied within the practice as far as if the doctor's on premise, just have them spend
quick exam.
20 seconds, you know, really feeling this animal and looking at it and making sure that we agree that we're healthy, you know, like.
Yeah, if your tech writes up your exam, it's a different story, but do the exam and say what you need to have in there.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, okay. So that's it then.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, that was it.
I think this is going to become more of an issue because I've heard we have, you know, technicians that relief at lots of different places, and it doesn't sound like this is uncommon.
I know, that's weird.
Our tech exam is a very common thing that I've been harping about this for a while, and it's going to become
okay. Sorry, we're going
to
be
some
done
to
with
future
that.
Agenda.
Let's talk about that later. Okay, thank you. The board has voted to find violations in this case. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law, and after doing so, we'll then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions in the meantime, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you for being here, and thank you for joining via phone.
Thank you.